At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
To deal with their sh**.
They're the LSD.
They don't do it for free.
While you're living your life, they're watching TV.
They're the LSD.
They do it for you.
Watching, and soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 22 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds and we rate the players based on how well they're doing. I am your host, Aaron Armstrong. Joining me today is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
Doing well. This is it. I can't believe we're here at the end of this season, basically. This is very exciting. It'll be very interesting to see how this all goes down. I feel like this is one of the few times where I really have no idea who's going to win. I mean, normally I do feel like we come to the end of the season and there's one person that I'm like, okay, this person's going to win or this person should win. And I feel like this season I'm kind of like, it really could go anyway. So, you know, we'll just have to see.
Interesting, because I feel the exact opposite.
That's so funny. Really?
You think it could go anyway?
Wait.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's
introduce Brent and then we can get into it.
Hey, what's going on? We're almost there. Big Brother.
What's going on?
Big Brother All-Stars. It's been like a never-ending bowel movement that we are. It's just as exciting. We're finally to the end of it. And so here we are. It's exciting. We're almost done.
Yes. The chat is very confused, Melissa. They thought you were joking. Did I misinterpret a joke?
No, you didn't.
Okay.
I'm really not joking. I honestly think it could go any way because I honestly like, okay. So yes, we're all like, okay, Cody's the winner. Like the whole season we've been saying that. But I've also been thinking that Nicole has a really good chance. And so I really don't know between Nicole and Cody. I absolutely see a situation where Nicole wins this thing. And I've been saying that all along. So like, I also like knowing how the jury has decided things in the past few seasons, I could see an Enzo win. So like, that's why I'm kind of all over the place in terms of like what I'm thinking for this, because it's like the logical move is like, okay, Cody wins the season because that's the way we've been headed all along. However, like the way I see this season going is Nicole wins. And then the way that the past seasons have gone, like if that dictates anything, then Enzo wins. So for me, it really does feel like it could be any one of these three. And I'm not just saying that to like create conversation when there is none. I honestly see it that way.
I mean, I don't think it's impossible for Nicole to win. You know, I think that we're certainly going to talk through the potential jury votes. I mean, I listened to a couple hours ago, Nicole was practicing her final two speech and she plans to tell the jury, I brought Cody to the end because I'm not scared of him and because he was the most loyal ally I've ever had.
Does it matter? That's the thing, though, is like none of the past seasons that has mattered what they say. I mean, when Nicole was versus Paul, I thought absolutely Paul's going to win this and he deserves to win it. And Nicole hasn't said anything to change my mind. And her speech was just like, oh, I don't know how I got here, you know, and then she still won. So like, I honestly, like, I don't think that what she's done in the game or what she says in the end matters.
So here's the thing. I agree with that, but I like for the most part, but the problem that I see right now is that the jury is predisposed to vote for Cody. And in order for Nicole to win, she's going to have to pick off a vote or two to win. And if she's telling the jury something like that, it's less likely that they're going to vote for it. I know that we don't acknowledge this for the most part. There have been a few votes here and there that have changed on finale night from, you know, what people said they were going to do to how they ultimately voted. And that's what Nicole needs in order to get over the hump here. And if she's going to talk like that, then I don't know about her chances.
I feel like, honestly, like maybe I'm ruining the conversation here because it's like, it's just the thing is that I'm not going by logic. Like if we're thinking like, okay, who played the best game? Who's been running the game this whole time? Cody. We all know that. Okay. That's not something that like we can talk ourselves around. That's the truth. However, none of it seems to matter. Like that's the thing with me. And that's why I think I am ruining this conversation is like, I don't think that like with Big Brother past juries, like at least for the past few seasons, it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter.
Are you
matter
Memphis right now?
I guess so. But here's the thing is I don't think it matters to like the jury, like who played the best game. Like it comes down to like, just like their random feelings at that random point in time when they put the key in the slot. Like, I just feel like I haven't been able to predict a winner for the past like five seasons because I guess the last time I was able to predict a winner was, I guess, Big Brother 16 was the last time I was able to predict a winner. And even then I was like, oh God, I hope Derek gets it. But like this time it's like, I've been so scarred by the past juries where it's like they make absolutely no logical sense. And we're like, this shouldn't be the winner. And so maybe that's like where I'm coming from with this perspective. But I guess like my thought is that like, it doesn't matter how they played the game the entire time because the jury is just going to decide what the jury is just going to decide. And that's why I think they all have like an equal shot at winning this.
I hear you. By the way, Taryn, this conversation takes me back to that night with you and Sharifa. Where like Sharifa was like, yeah, I know you got logic and facts on your side, but I got belief, man. I know in my heart of hearts that this is how it's going to go.
Yeah, how did that one turn out?
Details. But it was still good podcasting. That was the best I had. That was the best fun I've had in a long time was watching you and Sharifa argue over. I can't even remember what you were arguing.
It was about the wall yeller and about how much impact the wall yeller had on the season.
Yeah, so the wall yeller who told everybody that Nicole and Cody were going to go to the final two.
Can't believe how much impact it had.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Stop it, Taryn. Anyway.
So. I will say this because I do hear what you're saying, Melissa, that I think especially if you were somebody that went into Big Brother 19, Big Brother 20, maybe even the celebrity seasons, thinking that the jury was definitely going to go one way and then it goes another way. It's I think easy to get in this idea that like, OK, so the jury is just going to do whatever they want. From my perspective, in each of those situations, I think there were warning signs that we did talk about on the podcast, especially Big Brother 18. We talked about it. Big Brother 19. We talked about it. Big Brother 20. We thought Tyler probably had it, but we definitely said like Casey's going to be close on this one. And this season, it really feels to me like, I mean, if we search through the rubble, maybe somewhere we can find a little piece of, oh, there, maybe theirs is that, does that look like a Nicole face? I'm not sure. If we squint real hard, maybe, that's what it feels like to me. We had a pretty good feeling that Jackson was going to beat Holly. But even that I felt like wasn't quite as solid as this feels, Brent.
Yeah, I'm with you. I am. And normally I'm actually more team Melissa when it comes to things like this, logic versus, your gut and your heart and your belief. But Melissa, I'm sorry. I'm with the robot on this one. I do feel like Cody has.
Well, to be fair, it's not about like gut versus heart or whatever, or it's like logic versus gut or heart whatever. It's just my thought is like, I don't see any like logic coming from the past jury's decisions. So like to me, I'm always completely shocked by what the jury decides.
Okay.
So it's like, when we look at that and then we look at this result, it's like, okay, well, what would be the shocking result? The shocking result would be not having Cody win. So, right. Like, that's so why I'm coming from that. Not because I want anyone other than Cody to win. That's not right. What I'm saying, because I do see some people in the chat saying, like, Melissa thinks Nicole deserves it more than Cody. Like, that has nothing to do with this. This literally just has to do with the fact that, like, I cannot predict what the jury will do because I'm always wrong.
So I hear you in that, like, you believe that you are positing that past is prologue when it comes to these juries, meaning like they haven't made sense in the past. And so, like, you know, why should I believe them now? I feel differently about this specific jury. I feel like that they are way predisposed to vote for Cody. And believe me, that's not what I want to have happen. I want the other two to have a shot. But I do feel like that it's all about your read on the jury, and it, like, you're reading the jury one way, and that's fair. I am reading the jury a different way. And I when the jury says I'm going to vote for Cody, I believe them. Like, I am to the point now, I think maybe a week ago, I was holding a little hope that Enzo might have it, but I've looked at them. I looked at, you know, some other interviews that, you know, people at Christmas in Memphis have done since they were out of the house, since I was gone for a week. And I don't see any way that anybody can beat Cody unless Nicole wins the final HOH and cuts Cody, and she's not going to do it.
Yeah. And that's where we are, by the way. We are heading to part three. It's going to be Cody versus Nicole in part three of the final three HOH. As things stand, Nicole seems 100% locked in that she will be taking Cody. She has been practicing for hours upon hours upon hours for days. Her speech against Cody, there is no, not even a hint of an idea that she would be up against Enzo in any reality. So
can we stop right there? Like, why?
Because she's not scared of him, and he's been such a loyal ally.
Isn't this just about the fact that their moms are tight? Did you guys see that clip going around about how, you know, oh, your mom knows my mom? And, like, you know, why did they say that? Oh, because they're so tight. Like, they were talking up in the bedroom about it. Like, I'm not, this is not fake news. Like, this really happened. Like, I can't remember when it happened, but it happened. I forwarded the clip. Like, is this just because, like, their family, like, back home, and, like, they know each other and their moms know each other? Like, is that the reason?
This is Nicole. I mean, she was going to do the same thing with Hayden. I'm sure she was going to do the same thing with Corey. She did do the same thing with Paul, and they had just made a deal that week. She just stays true to the deals that she makes in the end like that. We saw that when she was HOH, she had a hard time even putting Memphis and Christmas on the block, even though they had both just tried to get her out of the house. And that's because she's like, I don't want to do anything mean. I talked about it this morning. I went over her game.
How did she get cast?
This is how she plays the game. And it does serve her in the portion of the game where, like, Cody does a lot of work this season to keep Nicole safe after he knows that she's completely locked in with him. And that's because he knows that she's completely locked in with him, because it's true. And that's useful to her up until the point where she actually has to make the move. In Big Brother 18, she never had to, because it was done for her. Corey was taken out for her, and so she didn't have to cut Corey. She was never going to. This season, nobody was able to cut Cody, and so she's in this spot now where she really is going to take him, and I do think that she feels like she'll have a good chance to beat him, and she might, again, like, as Melissa points out, you never really know for sure. It just doesn't seem super likely at this point.
Yeah. On the flip side, the only other way Enzo gets there is if Cody wins the final HOH. And how are we feeling about that today?
You know, there's a few different ways that this can go, to be honest. Cody keeps telling us in the diary room that he is not doing this on loyalty. He is taking the person he thinks he has the better chance of beating. And I don't know who he thinks that is, but it definitely means that Enzo is still in there with a shot. I thought that Cody felt probably confident enough that he could take either one, and that he might just take the person that he's facing up against in part three, because why not? That's the person you're promising the most to. He's telling Nicole, I'm taking you, I'm taking you. He's not telling Enzo that he's taking him. But if what he's saying is true, that may be out of necessity, because why would you tell Enzo you're taking him? Enzo has zero power in this game anymore. And all that serves to do is give Enzo ammunition to use against you with Nicole and potentially prevent Nicole from taking you. So
right.
I really don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Cody wins, stands up and says, I'm sorry, Nicole, but I'm not going to make the same mistake I made last time. And she runs out crying or something. Like, I, I don't think it's impossible.
Okay, I'll tune in tomorrow, I guess.
I think Nicole wins the final HOH, and then she cuts Cody. She like pulls a John Party.
By the way, help me out. Like last year, it was not a crapshoot, right? It was questions, right?
With I believe
Jackson
so.
And Holly.
I think
and even
so.
With Tyler and Casey, right? It was
Tyler and Casey were the first ones that had the questions.
It was like last year they had like the video something questions, and you had to like decide if something was true or false. I can't even remember what it was. Or A or B, maybe.
It was A or B, I think.
But it wasn't like jury crapshoot questions. Like the person that I think improved the most is A, Taryn, was, B, Melissa.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was questions like that.
Okay, cool. All right, well, then... You know, Nicole, I was going to say that it was crapshoot, but it's not. Like, Nicole probably has a little bit of an edge, but Cody knows his stuff, too. So, I remember Casey and Tyler, like, they had perfect scores, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think Jackson Holly, like, he beat her by one. He had a perfect score, and she missed one question. So, mm-hmm. like, as I recall, the questions are not that difficult.
Could very easily come down to a tiebreaker, think, which is basically a crapshoot.
Crapshoot. So,
but, yeah, you know, we talk about John Party. I mean, this is maybe a similar conversation to the jury conversation, but in Big Brother Canada, the feeds shut off a lot sooner than the Big Brother US feeds do. So when John Party cuts Netta, there were... probably like 5 days leading up to that we didn't see at all. And it was in those 5 days that he ultimately changed his mind. And wow. Netta said that by the end, she kind of knew that it was coming. The feeds leading up to tomorrow night, they're still on right now. Nicole is still practicing the speech. Again, there's been no indication. I would be very shocked if Nicole decided to cut Cody at this point. Something massive would have to happen or change, I think, tomorrow in order for her to make that decision to change her mind as far as what we've been able to see this week on the feeds. But again, yeah, it's always possible.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, like, let's just say right now, if Nicole wins, I'm a genius.
See, this is what I've been feeling, right? That Melissa called a boot order, and then she called a winner, and then she got the boot order right, and now she feels like, I have to be psychic, so I must be right about this.
Yeah, I mean, what else can you think about this? I mean, like, how else would this work out? It just, you know.
Well, let's hold it. Melissa, if you predict the winner just like you predicted the boot order, I will be standing you forever. Because I would love for Cody not to get his way. And like, you know, the funny part is I think he's probably played the best game, but I also think he's had the easiest path. So like, I think that's what's rubbing me the wrong way. I feel like that Nicole and Enzo have had harder paths, not by a lot, but they have had harder paths to get to the end with harder decisions along the way. Like Nicole had the Ian decision. And Enzo had the Nicole decision when she was sitting on the block. So like, they've earned their stripes a little bit more, and I would love for either one of them to have a chance to beat Cody in
the end. Couldn't you argue though that Cody is the one that put both of them in that situation because he won earlier battles?
Yeah, that's fair. And like I say, he's played immaculate. It's just like, again, I usually root for the unexpected outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, Cody is the expected outcome at this point, so obviously I'm not rooting for him. But I hold no malice. Like there, believe me, there have been people in the history of Big Brother, like they get to the end and I'm like, oh my god, if this person wins, like, you know, f my life. You know what I mean? Like, but if Cody wins, I'm not gonna be mad. Like I'm gonna be like, you know, yay, job well done. You're a really good Big Brother player. But I don't know that it says anything more on the commentary of anything beyond that. You know, like
yeah, I feel like
As far as the cast makeup, I felt like he had the easiest road, especially with the changes that were made at the last minute in terms of,
Josh has recently come out and said, first of all, everyone was pre-gaming. Second of all, me and my allies were planning on targeting Cody entering the game.
Oh, wow. Josh.
What could have been?
Did Cody sneak in a test result somewhere?
Josh said it was a false positive.
You said it, not me. No matter what the outcome for the season, I'm not going to be like angry about the winner.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
isn't that the problem that we won't be angry? See, because I feel like we get our best TV out of like when we're living and dying with these people. And the fact
I think more the problem is that I won't be happy. if any of them wins. Like, it's not necessarily like that I want to be like angry if someone wins. It's like I'd more prefer to be like rooting for somebody and happy when they win. Whereas like right now, it's kind of like I don't really feel a connection to this season. So I'm kind of just like, okay, like these three people are fine. And if one of them wins, that's good for them. And like, let's move on to the next season. But I'm not looking forward to seeing one of them win. I'm not rooting for anyone in particular. I'm kind of just very blah on this season. And so I'm kind of just like, okay. And that's why like this season in particular feels very different for me than past seasons. Yeah. Even last season when we had Nicole in the end who had like a shot and we thought like, oh, who knows what's going to happen. And you know,
I'm reading the chat right now. It's like, Amber Redmond says zero passion this season. Shannon says, I have no emotions about this season. So bleh, like this is how everybody feels.
I think it happened with the triple eviction, because up until the triple eviction, people were still living and dying on the season. I mean, they were mad at the season. They were angry, but there was passion. There was interest. And you can even see it with like, you know, the amount of people watching this podcast on YouTube. It's like the triple eviction was a portal into an alternate dimension where nobody cared anymore. It was like a new world because it really was like the season ended. Because Cody was so well set up after the triple eviction and you know, you lost all of the drama and all of the, like, Enzo didn't make a move, so you lost Enzo. You know, it's now you're rooting for like Tyler, who's immediately on his way out the door. Then you're like, okay, Memphis Christmas is the person that is the risen. Like, there was nothing left after the triple eviction. It wiped it out. And those are like hard resets. Those kinds of moments. And so you need to renew interest afterward. And I don't think the interest was ever renewed. And so we got into this position where I think that people really did just stop caring.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like people say that in the past, or like, I don't know if they even say like, I just stopped caring. I feel like this is different. Like, I feel like in the past we've had seasons where we've all been like, well, I don't like anyone left, or I'm upset by what happened during this eviction or whatever. But I feel like that's very different than this season, which is that it's not that we don't like anyone left, because I'm fine with everybody who's there, but I don't care. And I feel like that's somewhat worse. To be fair, though, like, and I've said this before, is that like I prefer to have a season where I don't hate everyone and I'm not like actively like sad when I watch, or actively like very, you know, angry and there's nobody to root for because everyone's just like a good garbage person. At least in this situation, these people are fine and I'm okay with any of the winners. I'm not like, it's not like watching Jack on a season, you know, like last season with watching Jack, I just was like furious all the time. At least there's that. I'm not furious all the time, but at the same time, it's like, I would like to feel something about the season, and it's kind of sad that I don't really feel that. So,
yeah. Cause I mean, I think that, you know, season 19, even season 16, like there have been plenty of seasons, even season 20, where like you are just kind of waiting for the end to happen, but they never saw this kind of disengagement, I feel. And I really do think it's because there was such a hard reset there on the triple eviction. I've been doing these game recaps the last couple of mornings, running through especially the first half of the season where there was so much more going on. And I've had so many people go, wow, you know, I'm remembering like this season actually had things going on and it was exciting and interesting. It was disappointing, but it was exciting and interesting at the start of the season. I've completely forgotten about that because I've been living in this hell for the last month. So that's where we're left here in this, you know, back portion of Big Brother 22. And there's only one day left.
Yeah, we're almost there.
So I did poll the audience on some of these questions that we've been talking about. So, for instance, if Cody wins the final three HOH, who do you think he takes to the final two? Melissa, I assume you think he's going to take Nicole.
I think so. I mean, I think so.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel like it could go either way. At this point, I think I'm leaning toward Nicole just because it just feels like he's going to take Nicole. It just feels like it. Is not a lot of evidence really either way, because the only evidence points toward Nicole, but it's basically invalidated because again, why would he be telling Enzo he would take him if Enzo might just use that against him? But just the fact that he's not doing it at all means something there. The audience agrees. 65% of the audience says that Cody will take Nicole to the final three, which means that 35% think that he's going to take Enzo still.
I mean, I could see it going either way, but if I have to pick someone, I think that he takes Nicole.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. Just about 90% of the audience agrees that if Nicole wins the final three HOH, she will take Cody to the final two.
Yeah, that's the one that kills me the most. Like, it's like, I just wish she would just evaluate for a second the idea of taking Enzo to the end and cutting Cody. It's not about taking Enzo to the end. That's not the thing. That's the important part. It's cutting Cody in the eyes of the jury, who all see him as like the big head of the season. If she could put that on her mantle, she would win. Like, she's going to walk out of the house.
Why wouldn't she do it? It's just,
I don't
like,
understand it either. Like, she's just not that way.
Yes.
She's going to walk out of the house.
It's not like she would lose, like, any fans doing that. I just feel like
I think she thinks it would hurt her personal friendship with Cody or something, like, whatever.
It's the kind of player she, like, she, again, and I've talked about this before, but like, it is a difficult thing to know that you relied on Cody so much in the game to then turn around and stab him in the back. Like, it's what we want to see, but it probably feels pretty dirty.
It afterwards. They'll be fine.
But they're different people, and Netta was a different person, and John was a different person, and John probably felt like he brought Netta there much more so than Nicole feels. Interestingly here, and this is probably why the audience thought you might be joking at the start of the podcast, I asked, who do you think will win the game? 92% of the audience says Cody will win the game. 7% agree with Melissa that
was there an option that said anyone could win? Because that was my that was my perspective, not like, oh, I'm sure Nicole's gonna win. My perspective was like, the who knows, we have no idea.
I think, vote for anyone could win.
Thank you. I vote for anyone can win.
Okay, so if you were given this poll, Cody, Nicole, or Enzo.
If I only have three options and I have to pick one, I would pick Cody.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know, because I felt differently based on what you were saying earlier.
Well, here's the thing. If I have to pick someone, it depends. It depends if I'm just filling out a survey or if I'm saying it and you can tie me to it. Because if you can tie me to it, I have to stick with my Nicole prediction. Like, I just,
what is,
just have
what
to,
are you saying?
Otherwise people are going to, okay, look, if Nicole wins the season, you can go back and you can take my little tweet or whatever and just say like that Melissa said this. But then if I go and contradict myself by saying I think Cody wins, then you can't use
then
that
don't say it
anymore.
Just stick with Nicole. I'm wrong all the time.
See, like, here's the problem. This is already on tape. If Nicole wins the season, the tweet that I want to circulate is Melissa saying, if I have to pick one, it's Cody.
Listen, just
darn
take it.
It
back.
There's
take
no
it back
winning
right
here. All right. I'll stick with Nicole.
Okay, she's going with Nicole. That is the final answer. She's going with Nicole.
But my number one is anybody could win. Then it's, that's, I think,
so,
Nicole is
so
winning.
Cody is the third most likely option.
Cody is third most likely option. And Enzo's fourth most likely option. Right. And fifth most likely option is that nobody wins. So,
yeah,
you know,
I'd like to
that's
that.
Still a possibility. You didn't think of that, Taryn. Why
is
that not in your poll?
You should have had that in your poll for the last few weeks. Like, will we get to the end?
Nobody wins.
Yeah.
I did ask also, who do you want to win the game? Only 50% of the audience said Cody. The other 50% was basically split between Nicole and Enzo. 25 each.
It's hard to say I like Cody. It is. You're just like, you don't want to do it. You're like, ugh.
I mean, look, I like... Here, the problem is that based on the situation, I want Cody to win because I know that Nicole is taking Cody or Cody is taking Cody, and I don't want anybody to beat Cody unless they cut Cody, because I don't think they deserve it unless they cut Cody. Does that make sense? And I don't want that to set like yet another precedent that like all you need to do is be loyal and be a loyal soldier and let somebody run the game and then just take them to the end and you will just, you'll still win.
Yeah, I want Nicole to win the final HOH, take Cody, and I want him to win 9-0. That's what I want.
I want her to win final HOH and cut Cody. And
oh, yeah,
and
but that ain't gonna happen. Yeah, but
how shocking and fun would that make the finale? That would make the finale fun.
It would blow the doors off the recap afterwards when you and I were with Kuya.
We'd be like, oh my
tomorrow.
God!
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the last time I was with that shocked. Taryn, help me.
You were pretty shocked when Nicole beat Paul. But
I was
not in a good way.
Shocked. No, I was so shocked when Nicole beat Paul. Did not think that at all.
Josh versus Paul. That's
Josh.
My video when I did it live and then I came up here and I did RHAP. That was
shocking.
Ooh, yeah. That
was or when Paris won versus Kayla, I really thought Kayla had it.
That was one where we/I like definitely got that one wrong. That was the one where I was interviewing the jury members and I was asking them to rank who they were most likely to vote for. And they all had Paris last. And then just like that, there was a vote and it was the complete opposite. So
that was the one that was toughest to watch for me because that one was the reverse where I wanted Kayla to win, right? And then we all thought Kayla was going to win. We thought Paris has no chance. And then you see the jury and you see their responses to Paris and she's yelling and they're applauding her. And it's like a slow motion car wreck that you're watching, but you can't turn away from it. You're like, I can't,
what is going on? I was so confused when the jury was cheering for Paris's answers. And it was like this momentum.
What are you doing?
Building.
You're making fools of yourself.
It was literally this momentum building where it was all of a sudden it was just this snowball rolling down the hill and you couldn't stop it. And it was whoa, Kayla's about to lose this thing. I was crazy.
I wanted to say to all those jurors, get a hold of yourself.
And in hindsight, I think there were things that we missed along the way, especially me, I was focusing so much on what I was told in the interviews that I was these edited segments, they don't mean anything. And then, lo and behold, they meant something. There certainly are times that I got Big Brother Celebrity 2 very wrong because I was too focused on what happened to Ross. I thought for sure that was going to happen to Tamar. We can get these things wrong. We can't. So I've tried to look at this from as many angles as I can, and I just haven't found anything solid to give me any indication that Nicole has as much of a chance here. But you really, really, I want to make this clear. You never really know. So now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. All right. I also asked the audience, who do you think has played the best game to this point? So who has played the best game up until the point where they are about to head to the jury based on obviously what you think their chances of winning are and across the entire game. So it's not just rating them this week, but their entire game up until this point, especially, in context of me going over their games over the last couple of mornings. Where do we think this is at? I think obviously, pretty big majority says Cody is number one. I was curious, though, if they felt Nicole or Enzo was number two. Brent, do you have an opinion on this?
I think they're going to say that Enzo is number two because people just dislike Nicole irrationally. So but I understand those people because I used to be you. Yes, they picked Enzo as number two.
Melissa, do you agree?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
No faith in Nicole from Melissa, unfortunately, because Nicole was actually in second place.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Good for them.
Wow, okay.
What was the spread?
It was pretty close. So it was one point. These points don't matter that much, but Enzo was at 1.36. Nicole is at 1.71. So pretty close. Cody is over a point away from the both of them. So and this was just a simple ranking, not like a rating or anything. So it was relatively close, but she had a decent lead there. Going over Nicole's game this morning, I think there's definitely an argument to be made that Enzo played a better game. And there's an argument to be made that Nicole played a better game. Something that I'm going to talk about tomorrow morning when I go over Enzo's game is that Enzo, you know, there are certain categories that I like to look at over the course of the game. One is like just how well protected were you? How well set up were you? How close were you to going home? How often did you need to rely on something that may have been out of your control to stay in the game? And Enzo wins in that category. That's the only category and the only win over Cody in any category. Enzo wins in that one. He was the safest person all season long, very, very consistently. There was never a single moment in this entire game where Enzo could have gone home until the final four, I think. Go ahead.
I think my thing with Enzo is that, like, and I remember, like, in the first half of the season, we were all rating him really high. And I was very impressed with him. And I feel like he was doing everything right for the first half of the game. But I think the issue is that he was still playing a first half of the game in the second half of the game. And instead, that's when you need to be like setting yourself up for a win. I feel like the first half of the game is like, just don't go home and kind of set yourself up with people surrounding you, protecting you. But the second half needs to be, you set yourself up to win. And I don't feel like he was able to then turn his game to kind of match what needed to be done for the second half. And I feel like that's where he kind of fell off, which is like, he just kind of kept chugging along. And we were all impressed with him because that is what you're supposed to do in the beginning. But then he just didn't change that. He just kept doing that. And it ended up being like, okay, well, Enzo, what have you done? Like, you haven't done anything. And now you set yourself up for a third place win, you know, like, it's not, he didn't do what needed to be done in the second half.
Yeah. Melissa, I think we might be hearing some dishwashing in the background.
Sorry. it is a stove.
A stove. Okay. I think what I'm going to talk about tomorrow morning is that Enzo did not have the most amount of control in the game. That was definitely Cody, and this is an area that Nicole did succeed in to a degree, especially in the early portion of the season. The problem is when her interests went against Cody consistently won, and then he completely isolated her in the game, and at that point she really was just working for Cody after Ian went home. Enzo, though, also was just working for Cody for most of the game. He had a blip of like setting things up when he was HOH, but I think that Enzo waits until he has some power to make some moves, and he very rarely had power because he was not winning competitions. So Enzo, not a pusher. I'd said this all season long. He did not structure the game to his benefit. He just focused on making sure he was safest at all times, and that is very effective in getting far, but it is not going to get you the win in every scenario. Now, I think it's still great gameplay. I mean, if you can like keep yourself safe until the end and you make it to the final three twice in a row, and you can do so consistently without having to rely on competitions or anything like that, like, I'll take that game over the vast majority of any player any day, because all you need to do is win one of those competitions and you're fine. And he doesn't even rely on not winning competitions. He doesn't rely on the perception that he can't win to get there. He gets there because of his social relationship. So all he needs is, you know, just a little bit of actual competition ability. And he's now in a really good spot. But
I would love for you, when you do the interviews with him tomorrow, presuming that he loses, I would love for you to ask a leading question in a way that sort of says that. Like, you know,
that's why he doesn't want to do podcasts.
Oh, is that the reason why? Well, he's going to have to talk to you tomorrow. So like, you can ask a question in a way. I'm not trying to tell you that interview. I'm just like, I'm hoping you can, for us, ask a question where it's like, Enzo, you played an immaculate game, a game that was so well done that you were always safe in the beginning. But as the game wore on, do you think that you perhaps made any mistakes that led to you simply being safe and not taking control of the game? Some way to sort of...
He's going to be like, you're talking about Nicole, yo. I get it.
Is it just Nicole?
I don't think so.
I don't think it is either. But he wants to boil it down to that to make himself feel better. But I don't think it is just that.
Yep, I agree. And it's something that Cody, I think, does well, that he recognizes that sometimes you do need to take some risks in the game. Cody had to open himself up to be vulnerable by a little bit. You know, Cody opened himself. Cody throughout the game was at like 5% vulnerability. Nicole was like at 60% vulnerability throughout most of the game. Enzo was at like 1% vulnerability through most of the game. But that extra 4% that Cody let himself be open to is what is all the world's difference. And it allowed Cody to lead from the front, and control the structure of the game and be in the position that he's in now. And that's really huge. So, you know, obviously in comparing Cody and Enzo's game, I think most people would agree that Cody played a better one. Between Enzo and Nicole, it is tough, I think, because, you know, Enzo was much safer. Nicole relied so heavily on luck and competition wins that she didn't even win. Like, she relied so heavily on ally competition wins because so many of these early weeks in the game, she was the target over Cody. I talked about this morning. She was Cody's shield. We talk about Nicole as somebody that uses shields because of how she looks, but she was actually a shield for Cody throughout all of the game. She was never going to go. She was never going to stay next to Cody. That was never the thing. Cody was like, please put me up next to Nicole. I'm fine if you do that. And most of the time he wasn't even going to be put up next to Nicole. It was going to be Nicole and Danny. And then she would have stayed next to Danny, but it was always a risk. And she was still a big target throughout most of the game. And she really relied very heavily on those competition wins that her allies got for her, which is very much worse than Enzo's position through the game. However, Nicole also played a lot more actively. She took more risks. She created fires. She put them out. She was very active. She, you know, worked on people. She made moves. She lied to people. And she has a reputation. She's a winner. And, you know, if you put Enzo in a tough spot, face some adversity, something goes wrong for Enzo, I'm not going to have as much faith in Enzo that he can get out of that spot as I will in Nicole. Like, Nicole is, she knows how to get out of situations. She knows how to survive. You know, she was in the most danger throughout most of the season by far, but who knows? Maybe if she does end up on the block next to Cody, maybe she finds a way out of it. Given how well Cody did this season, I'm not inclined to believe so, but she's shown a lot of capability. So I really do think it's a tough call. I would probably go with Nicole over Enzo here. I just think that being a more active player is always going to be good. And Enzo just keeps making the same mistakes and he's just not active enough. There are some key moments I'm going to talk about tomorrow morning where Enzo could have changed the entire course of the game. Mainly, and here's my opinion. I don't think it was the Nicole thing because I think it was already... The ship had sailed at that point. Enzo's biggest mistake was Christmas's HOH because he had a lot of pull with Christmas. He could have coordinated with Tyler, who also had pull with Christmas. They needed to get Christmas to target Danny. They needed to do it. And both Tyler and Enzo just kind of went, oh, whatever. I guess we'll just let her target Bay. And that was the end of it for Enzo, in my opinion.
Fair point. I would like to see you be able to tell him that at some point, or him to address that. But that doesn't go into his game plan, because his game plan has always been, I'm just going to be as safe as possible. And I think that there are games where that is applicable, but the kind of game that he needed to play to get anything other than what he didn't want to get above anything else, I think Enzo did not want to get third place again. And it looks like he's going to get third place again. Maybe if he's lucky, Cody has some grace and takes him to the end, he'll get to give his... He keeps talking about his speech. If you listen to him on the feed today, he's talking about his big speech that he wants to give, as if giving the speech is winning the game. It's not, but he thinks it is. So, you know, maybe in a world where, you know, he he doesn't have to pay for all of his bad gameplay. I don't mean bad gameplay. His non-killer instinct gameplay. Mm. That's what I want to say. We're in a world where he doesn't have to pay for that, maybe Cody will take him to the end, but I don't think so.
Yeah. And I do want to be clear, like, we are poking holes in people's games, especially because they're being compared. I said this on Cody's game recap, but I genuinely think that Cody has played one of the most dominant games we've ever seen. And so in comparison, Nicole and Enzo are not going to look as good. And we're going to be poking holes because Cody did this better. Cody did this better. This is why Cody's doing better. But I think all three of these players have done very, very well throughout the course of the game. I think Enzo played a really good game. I think Nicole played a really good game. I think Cody played an amazing game. And that those opinions could also still change if Nicole cuts Cody. That's going to impact that sort of formula a bit. If Cody does end up losing a jury vote, that's going to impact that formula a little bit. And I'm going to shift that around. But I just want to remind people, just because we're, you know, pointing out the negatives, I don't want you to forget that there are lots of positives on these players. And I think they've all played really well to get here. So
cool.
Want to run through some jury scenarios?
Yeah, love to.
All right. So I gave four scenarios. Nicole wins HOH. She takes Cody. Nicole wins HOH. She takes Enzo. Cody wins HOH, takes Nicole, and Cody wins HOH, takes Enzo. And any general predictions here?
In terms of what?
The audience has decided these jury votes would go. Just who do you think wins in each of these scenarios? Let's say Cody wins, takes Nicole. Who wins?
Cody wins.
I would say Cody wins, but I feel like Nicole's best chance is either she wins the final HOH and takes Enzo, or Cody wins the final H and takes Nicole, and people are like, why would you take Nicole? Like, or something like that, and then like vote for Nicole in that situation. So, but I guess generally I'd probably say Cody in that situation.
Okay. Cody wins and takes Enzo.
Cody wins.
I think Cody wins.
Nicole wins, takes Cody.
Cody wins.
That's
the unforgivable sin, isn't it, Melissa? If Nicole wins and takes Cody with her?
I think it's a bad idea, but I think that I could see a situation where the jury views that as like, I mean, because like, think about it this way. Like, I know I keep comparing it to this situation, but it's just on my mind with Paris takes Kayla, and people were like, okay, like we were like, oh my God, what a mistake. She should have like, I mean, we loved it because we were excited that it was two women in the finale, but
right.
You know, we were like, why didn't she take Derek? Cause that would have been an easy win for her. Otherwise, she couldn't even remember
his name.
I think at the time we were pretty, I mean, maybe it was after, but Derek would have won. Right. So I think we knew that at the time.
I don't know. I guess in my situation is that I thought Paris would win versus, I guess like, it's not necessarily or that no, I
maybe
think
we didn't
it's an
know
easy
that
win.
Sorry. I think we found that out but after the fact. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that like, if you're even just looking at it without thinking about what the jury's going to do or whatever, like you're thinking like, okay, Paris takes Derek is a better chance for Paris than Paris taking Kayla. We're like, why would she do that? That's a stupid move. But, and so in this situation, you know, if Nicole takes Cody, we're saying she should take Enzo, but if Nicole takes Cody, there is a shot there that where people want to reward the fact that, hey, she won when she needed to. She, you know, she like took it home down the stretch and, you know, that sort of argument. So I could see a situation where she does win that one. Like, even though we're in our minds, we're like, well, she should take Enzo, but I could see people wanting to reward her for that.
Well, here's why I feel this way, because I wasn't feeling this way prior to hearing these conversations, but there have been multiple conversations on the feeds, Tyler saying to Enzo, but he means it about Nicole for sure. And he says it about Nicole later in a jury segment. If you don't cut Cody, you won't win the game. Christmas says to Nicole, if you don't cut Cody, you won't win the game. Christmas says to Memphis, if Nicole doesn't cut Cody, she won't win the game. Christmas says to Enzo, they both talk about it. Can you believe that she's willing? It seems like she's willing to take Cody. That is literal insanity. What is she doing? And in the jury segments, we're hearing from Kevin, if they don't cut Cody, they can't win the game. I've heard it so often from them that it's like, I believe you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, look, like the likely situation there is that Cody wins. I'm just thinking like, I don't think that she's like totally dead in the water if she takes Cody. I think it's a bad move on her part and she should absolutely cut Cody. But I don't think that it's like the game is totally over for her if she does take him. I could see an argument being made for her anyway.
All right. Final scenario. Nicole wins, cuts Cody and takes Enzo. Who wins there, Brent? I keep catching you with soda.
Sorry. Nicole wins. If she cuts Cody and takes Enzo, Nicole wins 8-1. Cody votes for Enzo. But she can be like, look what I did. And she didn't even need to say anything. That's the great part about it. Like, she can be like, I want her to just be like, did y'all see what I did?
Yeah. Melissa, yeah. I assume you agree.
Put my key in the damn box. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. And this is, again, I think, part of the reason why the audience is feeling the way that they did. This is one of the more ridiculous results I've ever gotten with jury predictions. The audience thinks if Cody wins and takes Nicole, that Cody wins unanimously. They think that if Cody takes Enzo, he wins unanimously. They think if Nicole takes Cody, that Cody wins unanimously. And they think if Nicole cuts Cody and takes Enzo, she wins unanimously.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it.
The only really even close vote here is if Nicole cuts Cody, 51% say Cody will vote for Nicole still. And 49% say that he would vote for Enzo.
I agree with Rob from last night. Rob's like, Cody's a bad sport. And I agree. He's a little... You guys, remember the few times throughout season 16 and this season where it looked like Cody was not going to get his way. He was a petulant bitch, okay? If he gets cut by Nicole after playing this game, there's no freaking way he is voting for her at the end, which I would love to see.
Yeah. So the audience feels very confident here that not only will Cody win, but he will win unanimously. There are only a couple of other even remotely close votes. Christmas, Cody has that vote 58% to 42 over Nicole. And then if Nicole takes Cody, similar results. And then the Kevin vote is 60% to close to 40% in favor of Cody, but the rest of them are even bigger blowouts, upwards of 70 to 80 to 90% likelihood of these people voting, like Danny, Tyler, Memphis, Ian. They all feel very confident in many of those votes. Sorry, Ian was not one of them. Ian was 65%. It was Enzo, Memphis, Tyler, Danny. They all feel over 90% say locked in. Those four votes are definitely Cody. And then Davon, they feel 78% sure. David, they feel 71% sure. So on and so forth. So again, I have to be, I'm somewhat inclined to agree. But if we were going to try and forge a path here for Nicole, we've talked about it before. I think it has to be all of Ian, Davon, Kevin, David, and Christmas. I think those are the five votes that could theoretically go for Nicole. Problem is, I don't know if Nicole gets Christmas without also having Memphis. So I think she might also need Memphis. So like, maybe it's those four plus Christmas and Memphis, or maybe it's Davon, Kevin, and David plus Memphis and Christmas. But it's just, it's so hard because every single one of those votes feels like a battle to me. It's not impossible. It's really not. It's, for all we know, those people are in the jury house, making a pact right now. Like, let's make sure Cody doesn't win, even though we said we wanted Cody to win in the jury segment. But based on everything that we've seen, it seems pretty unlikely at this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Rob's like, yep.
I mean, I feel like I've beat a dead horse. Like, I've said all I can say about this. But
All right. I did ask the audience who they want to be evicted this week. 37% said Nicole.
Yeah.
34% said Cody. And 28% said Enzo. It was a pretty close vote overall.
There's their hatred for Nicole. I knew it was going to come through somewhere.
I think they're, I mean, obviously, in this case, they're hoping for Cody to win and cut Nicole, which, to be fair, I think is...
I mean, like, I guess that's like... That's like a small victory at this point. It's like that's like the lowest bar that we could attain at this point to get a little bit of satisfaction out of the season.
Yeah. All right. Are you guys ready for the stock watch?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Here's the stock watch. Looks like we will be starting with Cody, who last week got 3 10s and a 9. Can he keep that up? Yes, for me. I mean, I don't know if you've listened to me on this podcast, but
yes.
I've never been, because you can never know. There's never a time where you're going to be 100% sure that the person's going to win. But this is about as close as I think I've ever come. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I didn't say anything. For the audio listeners, yes, I held up my tin paddle. Yeah. Like, this isn't even close. Like, basically just copy and paste everything I said last week. I hate to do that. I usually have something original to say about some of these house guests, but Cody has had such an immaculate hold on this season. He has exerted his will over the house guests, the people. He's gotten people to make decisions that were not in their own best interest, and he has a jury that's willing to vote for him. What more can he do at this point? He has done everything possible. I heard him, like, prattling on in a jury, heckling and jeckling about something about he has his it was the pre-jury when they were talking about, you know, Cody might have his hands in too many pots. I'm like, that sounds like good gameplay to me. I think y'all are mad that you didn't have your hands in more pots, but it's a 10.
All right.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. And the audience gave Cody a 9, of course. It is a 9.02, so it's over 9. It's which I'm trying to look at the historical data.
Yeah, Tyler in 20 might have been the only person who got over, or maybe no, I don't think Jackson ever got over a 9.
Over 50% of the votes were 10s. So I mean, it's
if you went by the median, right? Is that the median? The number that appears the most often. That's the mode, right?
The median is 10. There you go.
Help me, chat. Isn't it the mode? The number that appears the most often is the mode. Oh my God, I can't believe I remember this.
Yeah, I think that is. Yeah.
I also forget because they're all M's.
Right? I know.
And you learned it in elementary school. You never relearned it.
Okay, the chat is saying yes. Yes. Mode.
Maybe someday we'll use the mean or the mode or something like that.
Mode.
But
that reminds me of Young Justice. On Young Justice, they always talk about the mode. The mode is crash, dude.
The mode. All right. Well, let me just quickly pull up the Tyler historical data here. Tyler's highest rating in Big Brother 20. Was an 8.77 in the week before the final episode. In the final three, he was an 8.77.
So this is history right here. Yes, with
historically high. Yes,
yeah, getting over a 9. That's hard to do.
Yeah. So there you go. I do think Cody's position is stronger than Tyler's was coming into the final three. So there's that. All right. So, hold on. Let's move on to Enzo. Let's talk about Enzo. Where do we feel that Enzo places here on the list, Brent?
Yeah. Okay. So last week I had Enzo at an 8, and this week I'm not going to have him at an 8. I'm feeling really pessimistic about Enzo. I really am. I think that there's a better than even shot that he gets evicted, number one. And even if he gets to the end, I don't think he can win. So this week alone, oh my God, this is going to kill me because I'm just going to, spoiler alert, I have all Enzo stock, but I got to call him like I sees him, right? I'm going to give him a 3. Yeah.
I think that's fair. I do. I mean, as things stand, the only way he's getting to the final two is with Cody. And that is not even close to a guarantee. There's like a 50-50 chance that Cody even wins. And then if Cody does win, it's like a 50-50 chance that he even takes Enzo. And then he needs to beat Cody, having not cut Cody or done any moves. And they've all talked about how he needs to do a move if he wants to beat Cody. So, you know, being this close to the end and maybe getting to the end with Cody, like there's something there.
And just to be like clear, like I think the chat, some people are like confused. Like, I mean, Enzo's played a really immaculate game, but like that's all in the past. It's
this week.
This is the game in front of him. The game in front of him is not very long. It's like 24 hours. And so I'm judging him on like his position in the game and his, again, what is his position in the game and what are his chances of winning the game? Not very good.
And I will also say he's really just been sitting there not doing much. And I get it. Like if he campaigns to Nicole to try and get himself taken, that Nicole can rat him out to Cody and make it less likely that Cody takes him to the end if Cody cares about loyalty, right? So, you know, it makes some amount of sense, especially since there's probably no chance Nicole changes her mind anyway. But it just feels like he's just sitting there waiting to die. He's talking to the cameras just like, third place again, yo. And I'm just like, I want you to be thinking, instead of like, I can't believe I got third place again, I want you to be constantly thinking about like, what can I do? Is there anything I can
like,
do?
Go for it. Like, why don't you just go for it? Like, don't accept your fate. Go for it. You know what? And if you end up in third place and you went for it, it's so much easier to sleep at night. I always feel like that way, you know, but Enzo, he's just like kind of hoping for the best at this point. Hope is not a strategy.
And honestly, just ask Cody. Get an actual answer, because he's not even like getting an answer. He's just like, yo, like we're really gonna make it there, right? Yo, and like he's avoiding getting a straight answer.
I'm not gonna
this point it's like, what do you have to lose? Just get an answer out of each of them. Say like, if you win, are you taking me? If you win, are you taking me? Like, it's like, we're gonna find out tomorrow, so just like tell me.
And so like worst case, he says yes and you think he's lying, and you can rat him out to Nicole or whatever. Right. Best case, I guess, is he says no. Or best case, he says yes, and he's telling the truth, obviously. But worse, that, like, if he says no, now you know. Okay, I need to be campaigning to Nicole.
Right.
Or I need to be saying something to him to change his mind.
I agree with Taryn. Like, he has to go to Cody, because Cody is not a great liar at times. And if he's, like, especially when it comes like to something like this, like loyalty, and if he tells Enzo, you know, dude, I'm not going to take you, then he's got free reign to go to Nicole and open her freaking eyes and say, I don't know what you're thinking, but there's no way you can beat him. And here are the reasons why. Like, he has to go to Cody tonight.
He's got to do something. Otherwise, I mean, he's just accepted his fate, and that's that.
Like, he's not good at this part.
And he should be telling Nicole about the conversation he had with Christmas, where Christmas said, if Nicole takes Cody, she's out of her mind.
There are moves here. That's the thing, is like, there are moves for him to do. And he's just resigned himself to the fact that he's going to get there. And that's that.
Yeah. And the conversation where Tyler said, you need to cut Cody if you want any chance of winning this game. Like, those are two votes that she maybe thought she had a chance at. That, you know, just get in her head. Like, those are two votes you're probably not getting. If you're not getting Christmas feels that way. Probably not getting Memphis. Did you know that Memphis and Cody had a final two? Actually, Enzo doesn't know that. So I guess he can't say that. You know what I mean? Like, start talking, start doing something. So I can't even give him much credit for that. You know, I think overall, I have to give him a 3 as well. I can't even give him the sort of like the benefit of like, well, if Cody takes him, the jury might be bitter. Then, you know, he's in the final three, so on and so forth. He's just not doing himself any favors. And you know, if I really, really thought he was drawing dead, I'd go down to a 2 or a 1, but I don't think it's completely there yet. So it's a 3 from right. me, Melissa.
Before Melissa gives her thing, I wanted to say, like, to it. I know, right?
Daniel
Ibarra in the chat
can't
said,
stop me.
He said Enzo is like Old Yeller. And I'm like, oh my God. Am I the only one who gets that reference? Are you guys too young for that?
I mean, I know the reference. Like, I don't get the,
like, he's like a, like an old dog just waiting to be put out of his misery. Like, you know, like waiting to die. Like, come on. Like, just made me laugh. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah.
I get tickled by things here and there.
I don't know. It doesn't sound that funny to me.
I laugh my ass off. Whatever.
All right.
Sounds sad.
The audience is a lot higher on Enzo than we are. The audience gave Enzo a 5. That last week they gave him a 6. I gave Enzo a 5 last week. Where are you guys? Come on. Let's talk about Nicole Franzel. Nicole Franzel in a bit of a tricky spot here as well. Now, she is a lot more likely to make it to the final 2, I believe, than Enzo. If we assume that, you know, Nicole is taking Cody, and Cody is like 50-50 on taking Nicole, then, you know, Cody's at like 100% to make it there, Enzo's at 25%, and Nicole's at 75%. So that's a whole 50% more. I also feel like Nicole might be slightly more likely to win a jury vote over Cody than Enzo is, just honestly, because she's a winner. And she has more, you know, previous, like, pregame relationships on the jury. You know, Enzo has great in-game relationships, but a lot of them were like, but what have you done in the game? And at least Nicole can say, you know, hey, I'm a winner. And she's made her case before. I don't love her speech, though, but like Melissa said, there's a chance there. And she's 50% more likely to be there to have that chance. So, I gave her a 5 last week. I'm feeling, pretty similar. Actually, I'm going to give her a 5 again.
I am also feeling similarly, not to last week, but to you. So, I'm going to give her a 5. I gave her a 7 last week. God, I was feeling generous last week. That was when all the possibilities were open to us, Taryn.
See, I was ahead of the curve a little bit. People were like, 5s, Taryn. How cruel of you.
I don't know. I also want to give her 4, but I'll give her 5. I give her 5.
I thought about a 4 too. It's just like, she's going to be sitting there probably in the final 2. So I'm like, I don't want to go below, because just sitting there, I think, is probably 5 worthy, as long as you're not like Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah. I obviously feel better about her chances than
here
you guys
do. Here comes the 10.
But it's a 10. No. The one thing that I am upset about, I guess, is the fact that she's likely going to take Cody when that is not the right move for her.
Yeah.
She might still win even if she takes Cody, but it's like, why are you putting yourself in a position where you have like way less of a chance of winning than you, if you would just take Enzo? It just doesn't make sense to me. So clearly she's not really playing the type of game that I would hope to see her play in the end game. However, like, you know, she is putting herself in a position where she might have the opportunity to pick someone rather than be taken to the end. So I don't feel as bad about her chances as you guys do, but I don't feel as good about her chances as I did last week. So I guess I'm going to give her, because it's like, I feel good about her chances, but the problem is how she's playing. And I don't think she's playing.
Yeah. Oh, I, you know, great. I kind of did forget to factor that. The fact that she's going to take Cody really should be a knock on her score. Maybe I should give her a 4.
Well, that's how you can change your score. But that's how I'm feeling, where it's like, I do think she has a chance to win. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, I want to give her a 7. But then I'm like, well, you know, she's actively choosing to take Cody with her, which is the way she's playing. Like, that's bad. It's not good. So I'm going to take both those into account, and I'm just going to like go right in the middle and give her a 6.
I'm trying to think now. Like, I really, because we're factoring in on this week, and it's this week that she's planning on taking Cody the end. And that's such a, like, it's a, I mean, the audience thinks it's a little bit unanimous. Honestly, she will unanimously. And I think, I don't know if it'll be unanimous, but I think she easily beats Enzo, because they're all talking about how Cody set himself, because Cody talked about it in his goodbye message. He says, I set myself up. I have final two. I have final two with Nicole. I have a final two with Enzo. I had to get to the final three with Nicole and Enzo, so I'd guarantee my spot in the end. And so what they're thinking is Cody set himself up here. If they want to win, they have to ruin it. They have to prove Cody wrong. If they take Cody, it's the final validation in Cody's game that everything he did up until that moment was exactly what he needed to do. Oh man, Brent, are you having a similar crisis here? Or are you stuck with your five?
I'm stuck with my five. Right. Like I feel time like because I, if there was a moment where I was not sure, I think I would have been persuaded by the audience, but the audience agrees with me that this is a horrible decision for Nicole, and so like I can't go above a five.
I would drop it. Maybe
give the audience score and then decide.
So
I want to see what they think.
I was thinking about a four, but like again, she's going to be there. So like you know, and weird things have happened with juries. I've seen that over the years, time and time and time again. How many times I've been shocked. So I think like a five is a fair score. And she has control of the game, and still, she's 24 hours. So maybe something can happen tonight. Who knows? You know,
this is one of those situations where I'm like, I wish I knew what I gave people before.
I'm not gonna. I mean, I gave her a seven last week, and gave her a five this week. I feel like that's fair.
You know, yeah, I think a five is right. I think a five is right. I think it's fine. It's spoilers for the audience, but it's not going to matter anyway, in terms of her average. But just thinking about like what kind of precedent I want to set, I feel like just being probably in the final two, even if she is making a massive mistake, you just never know with the jury. And so, if she was willing to cut Cody, then I'd be giving her like an eight right now, right? Like I'm already dropping her because she's planning on cutting Cody. So five is right. The audience in a very close vote, gave her a seven. So they feel, better about Nicole than we do, but they also felt better about Enzo. So
feel much better about Enzo.
Let me refresh the page just because it's so close. And yes, still a seven. All right. So, yes, Margo in the chat knows me. This five is going to haunt me all night. I'm still haunted by not giving Cody the nine on week one. Because he really, you know, in the historical records, let it be known that Cody definitely should have had a nine in week one. That was a very impressive week. All right. So that's what we have. A 10, a four, and a six here in the final three of Big Brother 22. I asked the audience, how would you rate the episodes this week? 3.8. Up from the 3.5 last week.
Yeah.
They liked the recap of the recap.
They liked our podcast.
How would you rate the feeds this week? 2.3. Down from the 2.6 last week. How would you rate the season as a whole so far? 4.3. Up from the 4.1 last week. I was wondering if this would go down, because we talked about historically how like seasons like Big Brother 19 and 9 are like at like a 2 point something. And I thought, oh, like maybe they'll adjust their scale based on that. But it actually went up. So there you go. I asked them to rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Any guesses here?
Of the ones still remaining?
Yeah. Cody, Enzo, Nicole.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct. I'm trying to see. I think the leaderboard has been updated here. So let me pull up the Stockwatch leaderboard.
I think I forgot to do anything on mine. Whoops.
Not gonna lie, I also forgot.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess there's not much to do now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would have just bought more Cody or whatever.
You were already in Cody.
Yeah, I was already in Cody, so it didn't matter too much. But here we go. Scargate still in the lead here. Was invested in Cody. Cody looks like everyone was investing in Cody. Yeah, not many people did hold.
I mean, I think all three of these people are going to hold their positions, and if they want number.
Hey, are you playing for second place, Liv? Are you playing for third place,
Mother? It's Mother. Yeah.
Don't be an Enzo or a Nicole.
German or something. Mutton.
They won a medal. Isn't that what they say in the Olympics? Yes. If you get a medal, you're an Olympic champion. Doesn't matter the color.
We do have badges that will be here. So here's how it's going to work. For the final week of the Stockwatch, you will choose between the final three players. You don't have to buy any. You can hold in the final week. How it will work is that the winner of the game will be rated the equivalent of a 10. And now how this is supposed to work is that if the winner is such a foregone conclusion that it's an obvious decision, that the winner doesn't actually pay out that much. And that's going to happen this time because he's already a 10 and he only made like 4% this week. We can look at the projections. He'll only make 3% if he wins because we're already so sure that he's going to win. It's not going to be much of a surprise.
Oh, wow. Just to stop you real quick. I'm sorry. I don't mean to stop you. So like if we gave him a 10, which is what we gave him for the average, mm-hmm. he made 3%. If we had given him a 9, he would have actually went down, which is I've never seen this before.
Like if we had given him a 9 this week, he would have gone down, not by much, but a little
not
bit.
Not by much. Yeah. But yeah, in the past, usually like if you're getting green numbers like 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10s, like even if you go down like one notch, usually you still make money. Well, but he's so high. Yeah. I know, right. That like he just like pressing up against the ceiling, you can't go anymore.
Yeah, Cody is going to be the mark for the Stockwatch probably for years. Like highest value player, you know, most amount of tens, highest average rating.
Yeah, because if you dip, it's like you have to make up all that ground, and like mm-hmm. and it like exponentially like builds on top of itself the way we have it set up. So it's really hard to get above like $40, which is what it is right now.
Yeah, I was looking at the all time stats with this week's rating. Cody is now definitively the highest average rated player in the Stockwatch since we started doing it, and that includes he surpasses Tyler. In addition to that, this season in the Stockwatch, Cody, there was never a single week where Cody lost any money. He consistently went up every single week. You know, sometimes by a lot less than others, but there was never a time where it was a bad move that you would have lost money if you had invested in Cody. So this is how it works. The winner gets the equivalent of a 10. So if Cody wins, if you invest in Cody and he wins, you'll make 3%. If you invest in Enzo and he wins, you'll make 166%, which means you'll more than Woo-hoo! Double your money.
Yeah, baby.
If you invest in Nicole and she wins, you'll make 81% return on your investment.
Wait, so what happens to the second place and third place person? So, nothing or
second place? It's the rating equivalent of a 1. So second place gets 10% of the money. They also get 10% of the rating. And so if you invest in Cody and he gets second place, then you'll lose 84% of your Jeez. Investment. So if he wins, you'll make 3%. And if he loses, you'll lose 84%. If you invest in Enzo and he's in second place, you'll lose 46%. If you invest in Nicole and she gets second place, you'll lose 66%. If you invest in the third place finisher, you lose everything. They are evicted. They are gone. You lose all of the money that you invest in them. So you can try to choose a winner, or you can hold your money, keep it, bank it. There is an all-time leaderboard, meaning that you will add up all of the money that you end each season with over the course of your entire career playing the Stockwatch. So that's some incentive to not just, you know, risk everything and lose everything for no reason because the season's over anyway. This will stay on your permanent record. So you know,
right. People, Margo in the chat says, she says, I need a Stockwatch class. You can go over to Taryn's Twitch. Yes. Taryn's always talking about the Stockwatch on the day of evictions on Thursday. He always does a little like hour, 2 hour Twitch where he talks about, you know, all the good buys and the not so good buys, and usually tells you like what he's doing. So you can always find it on Taryn's Twitch.
Yeah. I actually went up this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then you were very bad last week.
I dropped down to the 80s when I went in on like Enzo, and Enzo went down the first week. Enzo went down.
I'm like probably in the 2000s at this point.
All right, where is Brent?
I'm so far down.
Not quite. 1978.
1978. That was a good year for me.
Hey, Brent's Coke count is in there. And the Brent Fan Club. Yes. Wow, Brent Fan Brent Club fan is beating real Brent.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're in the top 50%. There you go.
Hey, ring a ding ding.
And Melissa still being beaten by Melissa Bot. But now you're beating Melissa's Denny's.
Thank you. Yes, she's beating Melissa's Denny's, which has to happen. Let Melissa's Denny's beat you.
There you go.
Yeah, I did not make good moves this week. I forgot. And so I kept my Enzo, and I have mostly Enzo. So not good.
That's not going to work out too well for you.
But I'm going all in on Nicole.
Yeah, Melissa, you dropped, you lost $90 and you dropped 200, almost 300 spots on
I should have done something. And I got warnings this time. Like I got notifications like, please, you know, do it. And I was like, got it. I'll change my stock watch. And then I forgot. So,
This week's on me. Brent lost almost $200 and dropped almost 900 spots on the leaderboard.
I've been on the Enzo train for a while, but he has let me down once again.
Yeah. I moved up 8 spots. I'm pretty sure that's where we're all gonna. This leaderboard is pretty locked in, I think.
I say, but you know what? Liv in the chat said, she said second place is the first loser. So she said she's gonna go all
there
in.
There it is. That's the mentality you need to win, to get first.
Yeah, because Scargate, you know, is going to go for Cody. So Liv like almost has to, if she wants to win, she has to do something different because she has first dibs because she has the most money. So she, you know, she can go for Nicole.
I could go in on Enzo. If I went in on Enzo and he won, I'd probably win the stockwatch.
I think somebody above you is probably going to do that.
There's only 57 people above me. I don't know if one of them will do it.
Because don't they get a badge for top 50 or top 20?
Oh yeah, this is how it's gonna work. First place gets the first place badge. Second place gets a second place badge. Third place gets a third place badge. Then the fourth place and fifth place both get a top 5 badge, and then 6th through 10th get a top 10 badge. If I pull this back up. We have new designs for the badges incoming, but this is the current one that we have here.
I love the watermelon. Oh, it's okay.
The watermelon will still be there, but just with some extra accompaniment there. I was in the top 5 for Big Brother 21, so I have this badge next to my name. That's what the badges mean, and this is a top 5 badge. So those are the badges. They will show up on the leaderboard. You can show them off the next time you play in the Stockwatch. There's nothing else that they do other than that.
Sven in the chat's like, what does the badge do? Nothing. It's just pretty to look at.
Bragging
like,
rights.
You get to brag about it.
So
you
in
think
addition,
I'll ever get a badge? Absolutely not.
In addition to that, there are like secondary badges. You know, you can see if I click in on Scargate that there's like Scargate has like a essentially like a profile page. I believe how this is going to work is that the top 1%, 5%, and 10% of finishers will get a minor badge to show off on their profile to show that they were in the top whatever percent of each season as well. If you want to learn more about all of this stuff, make sure you tune in to the my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I guess I'll go live tomorrow if I'm alive tomorrow, but we'll see. You can always ask me questions about the Stockwatch on there if you're interested. All right. So, who did you vote for America's favorite player? The polls have closed. It's time to figure out where this is going to go. No real surprises here. I already asked this question last week. However, Devon did extend her lead. Last week, she had 38% of the vote. This week, she had 46% of the vote. Tyler in second was 28%. Yep. Tyler in second this week, 26%.
All right.
Janelle in third place had 11%. This week has 10%. So Tyler
went down.
And Janelle dropping.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the top three finishers for sure. Like, you know, Julie says, okay, here are the top three. I think those are the top three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, I have flashbacks to Teresa Cooper, T-Bird, through the RHAP poll. Like, they had her like, Rob had her like number three in like the second chance of Survivor season. Like she was like number three. And then like we went to like Jeff Probst and like what all of America voted. They did not vote her in. And it's like, you know, like
those were shocking. Yeah. There were some shocking ones.
So here's what I'm going to do. Probably maybe after this podcast, I'm going to tweet out a Twitter poll, which I imagine will get significantly more responses than the Stockwatch survey. There's a lot of other stuff in the Stockwatch survey. Twitter poll, very easy. The Twitter poll is going to be Davon, Tyler, Janelle, and then I'll give like an other, because people will get mad if I don't. And then we'll see if those results match these results. I would imagine Twitter is also in favor of Davon, but I do wonder if, honestly, you'd think that like the Tyler fans would have more of a presence in a poll, you know, in a survey where you rate players,
and the poll is, anonymous. Like when you vote for somebody, people can't tell who you voted for. Like, unlike when you like something on Twitter, people can see who liked what. When you vote in a poll, people can tell. So you can freely vote for whoever you want. That might be give us more of an indicative result.
So we'll see. Check out my Twitter at Armstrong Taren. I'll post that poll out tonight, and we'll see if those results match these results. I think that's just about what I have from the audience. So that's where we're at. So we have this roundtable. Tonight, tomorrow morning, I will be live to talk about Enzo's game. I think it's interesting to talk about Enzo's game. I think people might be surprised at how much he wasn't doing, as well as how safe he was across the entire season, and how much that like he had a relationship with every single person. That was basically it. Like in comparison to Nicole and Cody, like Cody by far had the most. Nicole had a lot at the first half, and then Enzo basically he had his HOH and he made moves on his HOH, and he just didn't after that. But we'll talk about it tomorrow morning. I do very much appreciate the people who tune in for those, who enjoy those. They are a lot of work, but they're very informative to me to refresh my memory. I hope you guys have enjoyed them as well. Then tomorrow during the day, I might go live on Twitch. Again, depends on how alive I am, because these things take so long for the game recaps. And then later that night, finale will be at 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll have some finale coverage after the fact. We will also hopefully get some interviews up at some point. Rob and I will hopefully maybe be talking to the players, some of the players, not all of them probably, but we'll have all that for you tomorrow, and then at some time probably next week, Brent, Melissa, and myself will reconvene. We'll do a season wrap-up. We'll talk about the season as a whole. We'll rate each of the players in their overall game, as players, which will be interesting because it's an all-star season. There's other stuff to take into account. We will also do the final legacy watch. So Brent and Melissa will comment on the final postseason legacy watch. We'll compare at the start of the season in the preseason where these players were in terms of their legacy to now. Where are they with their legacy? And we'll have plenty of other fun stuff. We will talk about the Stockwatch results. We'll say who won the Stockwatch. Maybe it's going to be Scargate. Maybe it's going to be Liv. Who knows? There's going to be plenty of content there. So make sure you tune in for that. And then, hopefully we'll get, a couple of, retrospective interviews in there as well. But if Enzo has anything to say about it, probably not, but we'll see. So that's what we have for you in the future. Brent, any final thoughts?
No, it's been an interesting season. You know, we came into this season thinking it's going to be amazing. It's going to be Big Brother All-Stars. And once again, Big Brother expect the unexpected, but this time it was expect the expected. And that was what was unexpected, was that it was such a paint by numbers season. Never would have saw it coming in an All-Star season. But here we are. And, you know what? We've had a good time on the podcast. As Rob said last night, Big Brother dropped the ball, but we didn't. We've had a good time over here.
Yeah.
And this is like a well-oiled machine at this point. So happy to do another season of Big Brother with you two, and can't wait to finish it off tomorrow.
All right, yeah. Melissa, final thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. The season itself has been rather lackluster, but it's been really great podcasting with you guys and with the new class of 2020, and just, you know, getting to discuss this sort of thing and talk about it and see some faces that I did not expect to see a lot of these faces back on our screen. So it's been very fun to be able to watch them and see them on the live feeds. And, you know, while it's kind of petered out near the end, there was some really fun, exciting moments in the beginning of the season. So, you know, it's been great. I'm excited to see how this whole thing turns out.
All right. Well, I love you guys. I love you too. I love the audience. I love you guys for hanging out with me, for letting me do what I do, because I do love this show. I do really enjoy it. And I have enjoyed talking to you guys about it. So thank you guys so much for having joined us across the entire season. I know that the people that are still around, because a lot of people have given up on the season at this point.
Right?
The people that are still around, you guys are the true ones, the number ones, I forget what Polly said. but I very much appreciate you all. And I've appreciated talking with you. If you do want to continue to hang out with me after the season ends, I will be on Twitch, as I mentioned. We will have some more coverage. I'm sure the circle is coming up. We have sequester coverage, I'm sure, at some point.
Thank you for reminding that. Yeah, tomorrow on RHAP in the finale show, we're going to Audrey Middleton has given us permission to reveal the first cast member of the cast of season four at the end of the Big Brother recap tomorrow. So stay tuned for that.
Thank Interesting. You, All yes. right. Well, look forward to that. And that's what we've got for you. So again, make sure you find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren or on twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. You can find Brent at One Lucky Gay and Melissa is at It's Melissa with three A's. Thank you so much again for joining us. We'll see you next time.